the people, and power to the gang, power to Port Adelaide, where we give our name, and Albert and sons and daughters, and the South Australian skies.
Welcome to the 1870 Hour, presented by New Vision and the Port Club, coming to you live on the Port Adelaide Fan Radio, a fan-driven online radio station dedicated to the Port Adelaide Football Club. I'm Al, and I'm joined in the co-host chair by Phil.
Hello.
As we concluded the 1990 season last week, this next season that we're going to cover is our first one in the AFL in 1997, which saw Port Adelaide take its rightful place in the AFL. To start this week, we're going to focus on the makeup of our inaugural squad. How are you going, Phil?
I'm very well, thanks, Al. How are you today?
Oh, yeah, not too bad. Not too bad for a Tuesday night.
We've got no Talking Foxy to our, tonight.
Foxy decided that he had other plans. He's over in Canberra here and decided to go out for dinner with a couple of friends instead of reminiscing about Port Adelaide with our listening public.
He's a bit soft, young Nicholas, isn't he?
Oh, I think soft is an understatement. He needs a teaspoon of cement, just like the boys.
That, yes. Yeah, how did you find the game on the weekend, Al, on Friday night?
Oh, the debacle, which was Port Adelaide. Yeah, it was pretty average, to be honest with you. Yeah, I was pretty disappointed. As a whole, with the performance, like, we just never got going. They just beat us up. And we just couldn't get going. Lobe got pantsed. It's kind of sad to say that when, like, Reece Stanley is tearing you a new one, there's something wrong. But, yeah, there's not too many guys that could hold their head up high other than little Chadwick.
Yeah, he's back. He's back in a big way. But, no, very, very disappointing game. Like, I was really excited by it. You know, it's shattering, to be honest, because I felt like we were back. You know, we had a couple of good wins. Everything sort of seemed like it was, you know, heading in the right direction. And then that, it was so disappointing, so disappointing. And you know, the bottom line is, again, three-quarter time, I didn't think that we were going to win. I had no thought in my head that we were going to be able to come back from there. And what did we get? I think it was one goal in the last quarter.
Yeah. As the guys at Bigfooty will say, like, just before three-quarter time, I said, we're done, stick a fork in us, we're done. We've got no way coming back from that. And that was the way that I saw it. Like, we were just kicking wide, weren't playing our direct play on football. It was really bad. So, yeah, it was just shocking. And I was really disappointed. And, yeah, we played wide, kept on putting it over the boundary line, kicking it out of bounds on the full.
11 out on the full? Was
yeah, mate.
Ridiculous.
That's
like
ridiculous.
That.
Yeah, ridiculous.
What's to do with your voice then, mate? That's ridiculous.
Sorry, guys. I've got a bit of a chest infection. Haven't been well. So I sound like I'm going to be having my voice breaking.
Yeah.
Like Phil does most nights.
Yeah, it was a shocker of a game. Absolute shocker. And, you know, where does it leave our season now? You know, top four was definitely out. That's gone. And probably was even before the game, to be honest. But I think this was kind of the last, you know, last chance for us to get there. But top eight, are we even going to make the finals? We haven't been in the eight once this year.
Mm-hmm. Been we keep on like
in the eight once, and I think, you know, up until this week, I was kind of expecting, yeah, we're going to come back. We'll be all right. But we're halfway through the year. Like, at what point is it just like, nah, we're done?
Well, the season is, and like, we had all these expectations. I don't know whether those expectations have been weighing on the boys or not, or we just can't get the right guys on the field at the right time, or our game plan's been thought out, like, people have now put defenses in place to prevent our game plan from being fully effective. So I don't know. I'm pretty frustrated at the moment, but I know that we've got a long season and like we could still potentially make the eight, but are we just going to be making up the numbers? That's the thing that I've got concerned with. But
You go back a couple of years ago, and if someone said to me, you know, you'll make the eight, I would have been pumped. But now you Port expect we're going to be at their next level.
Yeah, exactly.
And like I fully thought, I remember after the prelim final last year, you've seen me when Port lose them. Go a bit psychotic, but actually that was the one loss, believe it or not, I didn't feel that bad about, because I thought we're actually heading somewhere. I didn't look at that as, you know, what happened with the Crows where they lost and then they fell off the following year. I thought, okay, this is the little bit of pain, but we're building towards something. And, you know, you go through all summer getting excited for the footy. You know, I drive past Adelaide Oval every day on the way to work and on the way home, and I kind of look at it and do a bit of a nod, thumbs up, like a bit of a goose in the car. And now I'm devastated. Like, I wanted to buy the advertiser on Saturday and the Sunday Mail and read about how we're back. So I avoided the paper all weekend. Haven't looked at Fox Footy. Did not watch another game over the weekend because I'm a sook like that. Also, I had $39 left in my sports bet account from $100 at the start of the year. Chucked it all on the win. Got nothing left. Done.
So you're done? Does that mean that you're going to have to go see the finance officer, Kate, to maybe see if you can get another hunch? No, or are you just done?
I'm done. If Robbie Gray has a great second half and wins a Brownlow and something happens to Fife, then, you know, make a bit of money at the end. I think I've got about 30 cents left. So, yeah, I reckon that's pretty much gone.
Gonski. No, what
about the good players, though? Let's talk about Chad Wingard. He was the only player that looked dangerous. And, you know, I don't think he's been playing badly at all. But the last few weeks, he just seems to have that aura to him again where it just looks like he could do anything. Whereas I think, you know, for a while he's been playing very well, but he just hasn't had that X factor that, you know, you're used to with him, and it just seems like it's well and truly back in the last couple of weeks.
Well, let's be honest. Chad didn't have a pre-season. He injured his knee and basically missed the last 6-7 weeks of pre-season. So he's taken that time to, like, build up his fitness and get his body sound, and he was able to, yeah, and that's, you can kind of see that he's just running out game better, and we're giving him a bit more time in the midfield. Like, we do put him in for longer spurts each game. So, and he's just getting his touch back, and that's fantastic. So, yeah, he was the best by the length of the Flemington straight. Like, it was ridiculous how good he was in comparison to everybody else. And then we had, like, we had Homshi, who did all right, and Carlisle played well, other than that he was a bit fumbly at times. Carlisle played pretty well and held Hawkins pretty much out of it. Hawkins got like a soccer goal, and then just the amount of entries he ended up kicking, I think, another one. But like, it wasn't until that last quarter, and like, yeah, I thought Bobby played pretty well. And Robbie Gray's good, but he's a one-man band a lot of the time. Like, we've got to get a bit more spread the load a bit. And I think the loss of Pollock has really affected us, actually, because, like, he really breaks those lines from a wing position and gives us that impetus through the middle. Like, he'll take the ball on through the guts, like, and he really fires through there, and we haven't had that, and that's been really disappointing. So that might be affecting our structure as well.
But then, you know, there was a lot of players that did that last season as well, and we just don't seem to have anyone doing that, you know, taking the game on like we did last year. Can I talk about Pittard?
Oh, you can talk about his disgraceful first half.
He just seems to, like, I reckon he was all right in the second half, but yeah, he just, I don't know, like, I love him. I really, really genuinely love him. But there were a few eye roll moments throughout that game with young Pittard.
Pittard.
He seems to have lost a bit of his confidence and a bit of his flair.
I don't know, but there were certain times in that game, especially in the first half, that in my mind, when I saw him near the ball, I had the Benny Hill music going on all around in my mind. Like, I'm like, oh my God, what is he going to do now? I don't know, when Rick hears this, I'm probably going to get an email and stop bashing on his player sponsor, but he does need it. That first half was deplorable. His second half, he did improve, but yeah.
I think the issue with Pittard, though, in fairness, a lot of the time, I actually feel for him because over the first few weeks where, you know, he was playing some brilliant, brilliant football, he's one of those guys that I think, you know, even if he makes one mistake, people just call him on it all the time. You know, he's a bit of a whipping boy, which I think has been really unfair for the majority of this season, but... Yeah, he was a little bit frustrating on the weekend and you know, over the last couple of weeks. I just want to see him get that run back and back himself in and not make mistakes that cost goals. That would help as well.
No, fantastic. Yeah, I completely agree. And there were some other guys that just didn't really take their chances. Aaron Young, like Matty White went down with his injury and had an opportunity to play some significant minutes and just didn't take his chances. Like, he was nowhere near good enough. Like, but dropping him back to the SANFL, what's 35 touches in the SANFL going to do to improve him? You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's just, yeah.
Who comes in next then? Like, do we give Andrew... I've got this funny feeling we'll bring Kane Mitchell back in. I want to see Moore get a go.
Funny feeling? I think it's a near dead cert with Matty White going out and Kane Mitchell carving it up this week and getting the player of the week. I think that it's nearly a odds-on bet that it will happen. I wish it was the Arch, but I think it'll be the Mitch.
I want Moore in. I love Moore. I want to see him ever have a crack.
Yeah, well, he's still not playing great football, not consistent football from what Buddha was saying. I don't watch the SANFL, to be honest with you, but because I'm over here in Canberra. But, yeah, he didn't say that he was consistent enough through four quarters. So.
Yeah. We got a tweet from Rick. If you had to drop a big-name player, who would you choose?
Hammer.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking the same. I love him, but he hasn't had that influence, has he?
Yeah.
At all. Barely noticed him. And what's happened to his kicking?
Don't know. That beautiful leg.
That he had I haven't seen it. And admittedly, I had a couple of beers during the game and haven't watched the replay, but...
penetration's something that you're a big fan of. I know that, so... But yes, I'd say Hammer. Hammer would be my number one pick to drop a big name player.
But does that do anything? What do you think that does? Do you know what I mean? Like you see that quite often. There's a lack of form. Are we going to bring anyone in that's going to potentially have as much of an impact or a better impact than Hamish Hartlett? And I don't think we've really got anyone that's sort of waiting that's going to do that.
Daniel Flynn went back to Ireland.
You can argue that you need to drop him to make them accountable, but does it do anything in the long run? You see it all the time, like a bigish name player gets dropped to send a message, but you know, does it do anything now?
Well, it did for Alapate Carlisle. He got dropped a few seasons ago, and he had a few too many kgs, and now he's very svelte. So it can have the right message, but it depends on the personality, I think. But I'm a bit frustrated with the boys at the minute. But
Do Carlton have any chance? Because I'm a tad nervous.
My sphincter is moving in and out when I think about the prospect. that if we lose to Carlton, because the last time we played a bottom of the table side, we lost, and that was the Brisbane Lions. So yeah. I don't have 100% faith in us getting over the line this week, but let's just hope they do.
And they took it to the Crows as well the other week.
Yeah, it was without the Messiah. The injury to Christopher Judd.
Let's hope that that doesn't happen, because if it does, I don't think I'll have a voice on Tuesday. Actually, I'm pretty certain I won't.
That's right. But, yeah. Well, I suppose we've had our thoughts on the game of the weekend. It was pretty frustrating. I think most people would be agreeing. But, yeah, it's just frustrating, and that's what it is, and I think it may be a frustrating season. We have, I don't know, what is it, 12 rounds to turn it around, and let's just see what we can do, I suppose. But, yeah, it's a frustrating time to be a Port supporter, because we had so much belief and hope and expectation, and it just hasn't eventuated. But the boys can turn it around, and anything's possible, but I'm thinking that if we do make the 8, we'll be making up numbers.
Just frustrating as well. We still got to play Hawthorn again. We still got to play Sydney again. We still got to play Freo again.
Yep.
Two of those three games will be away as well. Not that the Portress is sounding like much of a Portress this year.
Well, it's not much of a Portress. 4 out of 6 games we've lost.
Yep.
So.
We'll turn around. We'll turn
we will. But, yeah. Did you know, Phil, that Players Uncut is on tomorrow night down at the club?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so they've got the Players Uncut. They've got a few of the boys down there chatting to up in the room where you had your 30th birthday. So, yeah, upstairs. I can't remember the name of the room.
The Phil Swanson room.
Oh, the Phil Swanson room. Yes, the Phil Swanson room. It's
named after me.
But, yeah, they've got the Players Uncut where some of the boys will have a chat about the season, and I think it's a bit of a Q&A, and Barry Curtin will be running that up there, so get down there, maybe get down to the 1870 Steakhouse and have a bit of a feed for her. It'll be good, because all money goes back to the club, so should
have
be good.
Have we got
good.
A quiz question this week?
Yeah, how many of...
We could contribute to them going to the Steakhouse and having a meal.
How many of our... Yeah. Yeah.
Go out.
Okay. How many of our inaugural AFL squad were from the Port Adelaide Magpies? So, there's a few people there, and we'll discuss, like, some of them, but there were a few key Port Adelaide people that actually didn't get in the inaugural squad that... we'll discuss as well. So
now, can I just confirm out? Are we talking about players who directly went from the SANFL into the AFL team, or are we talking about players included that were in the AFL program but had played for the Maggies previously?
So you can count Gavin Wanganine in there.
All right.
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's at least one Gavin Wanganine, and he played.
We're counting the former Maggie's players.
Yep. Came home.
Cool.
So, yeah, we had interesting makeup of our initial squad. Like, we didn't get the recruiting concessions that the Bears got, or West Coast got, or Fremantle got, or the Cows got. We got really watered down concessions in comparison.
But definitely better than GWS and Gold Coast. Yeah?
Not really. Not at all. We got 4 uncontracted players. 4. 4 uncontracted players. And our squad made up. I think we got a couple of extra picks at the beginning of the first round. After our... like the priority picks were given to the squad, people that we took uncontracted players from. So, yeah, we really didn't get much. And that's why people said at the beginning of the year that we were going to be dead last and we probably wouldn't win a game. That was the mail around in the Victorian mail. We would not win a game. So,
and we end up missing the finals by percentage. So yes, it was a pretty decent first year.
That's exactly right. So we had initially we went out trying to, we'll probably go into the uncontracted players. Like, we had a number of uncontracted players that were up to our eyeballs in that we like didn't get. Chris Grant, we wanted a centre half forward, marquee player. Chris Grant, who was the guy that we were after, and wasn't it some kid sent 20 cents on a letter? Said, yeah, this is my pocket money. I want you to stay with Footscray.
Is that even a true story, or is that something?
Yeah, apparently. Or well, I don't know whether it's a urban yeah, legend, but I have heard that this is the case. I think I watched on Open Mic a few years ago when Chris Grant was on that he did confirm that that was part of the thought process. And he had certain people putting a lot of pressure on him because Western Bulldogs weren't going fantastic, and if he was to leave, he could rip the heart out of him. So I think he'd only just missed out on, no, was it, he was it 97, he ended up drawing for the Brownlow. So yeah, he was one that we
Did he miss out through suspension, or am I just,
yeah, no, he missed out through suspension. So yeah, if he'd if he'd won, he would have won if it wasn't for the suspension, which was pretty average at best, the reason he got suspended. The umpires gave him 3 votes on the day as well, but it was on video replay, and it was pretty ticky-tack, to be honest with you. But, yeah, he would have been pretty handy, but that may have stifled the development of Warren Gary Treadray, who we'll get into as well. But the other one was we were trying to get a few of the local boys back, like people that had Port Adelaide Magpies heritage and like time with the club, and South Australians as well. But the next one was Nathan Buckley.
Mm.
And
I remember when he announced that he was, because there was a fair amount of speculation about him coming home, and I remember being at a ex's house and watching the footy show when he announced that he was staying at Collingwood. I went off my trolley. I was spewing, absolutely spewing. He would have been a reasonable pickup, wouldn't he?
Oh, more than reasonable. He would have been absolutely fantastic. Like, you can say as much as you want about him as being a bit of a knob or what have you. Like, he would have been, like, fantastic. Like, I mean, just the, and he probably would have been our first captain, because apparently that was bandied around as well. But Eddie got his I think that's when, that was the time that Eddie took over the presidency of the Magpies, and basically they offered him the captaincy and a truckload of coin to stay, and the rest is history. I was really disappointed with that, because he'd won, what, the McGarry in 92, was it?
Mm-hmm. Phil?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. It was 92. And
Hang on. Yes.
Yeah. Was 92, because then he went up to the Bad News Bears in 93, then went back to... Then
stayed
he got
for a season and buggered off.
And then buggered off. And so that was a bit crap, really. That was a bit really disappointing. Then we got into Scott Camporeale. And he'd only been at Carlton a couple of years at the time, and he wasn't interested. Or Carlton brown paper bagged him, potentially, we don't know, to get him to stick around. Then there was Todd Viney. He was a bit older, but we thought South Australian boy, try and get him back. Wasn't interested. Nick Holland, another South Australian boy, just wasn't interested. Andrew Dunkley was another one from Sydney. He didn't want to come back. And there was another one that I just remember reading the other day, and I didn't know this, but apparently we were like pretty deep into Jason Akamanis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like he wasn't getting as many opportunities at the Bears at the time, and with the good Fitzroy players going up there at the time. He was considering his options, and so the little Ranger kid from Queensland was looking at potentially coming down, but they talked him into staying. So yeah, it was interesting times.
That would have been reasonable as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and like, I didn't even know about Akamanis. Like, it shows that our recruiting department with Alan Stewart and that, we're looking at the right types of players. Like, let's be honest with you, we'll go through this list a bit in a couple of minutes. There were some pretty glaring errors there, but there are also some bona fide stars in there as well. So, but yeah, it looks like they're at least doing the right things and looking at the right type of talent. So
we've got a potential answer to the question now from the legend that is Bevan. 11. Bond, Brown, Berger, Carter, Francis, Lyle, Poole, Wilson, Treaders, Wangers, Carr.
Oh, well, towards the end of the show, we can confirm this. So.
Oh, there you go.
But if anyone else has any other numbers, please do tweet in. And Bevan's also said that, from our conversation previously, like, if we lose to Carlton or Carl Tank Light, Carl Tank Light, he'll have to give up social media. So that's pretty funny. Nearly as funny as one of Phil's jokes, but...
Hey, that moth joke, I got some pretty decent feedback on that.
Yeah, well, Marchie last week stepped up and did pretty well in the joke department as well. So
did he pull a joke out?
I pulled out more than a few. He kind of had this like whole egg joke thing going on. So,
who did a better joke?
Overall, I'd say Marchie was a lot funnier.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe, so you got a bit of work to do.
Maybe you can just have Marchie in every week then, and I'll just
That's all right. Fine.
If you want to be like that, that's fine.
I'm just calling it as I see it. Spade is spade, my friend. There's no need to.
It's your issue.
Oh, fair enough. Each to their own, I suppose. But we had a few guys that we did. We missed out on those guys, and then there was one particular person that I was kind of. That when we're talking about the Port Adelaide family that we didn't bring on board, and that was Timmy Ginever. He was so desperate, to be involved in the team, but he was like, by the time we came in 97, he was 30 years old.
Mm.
He just was too old. He didn't meet our demographic. Let's be honest. With the speed of the AFL, et cetera, and being 30, It must have been a really tough conversation for Jack to have to say, I'm sorry, Timmy, we're just not going to go with you. Because I know when I was there, I was like, oh, Timmy G's going to be playing. Like, you saw him in, when we did that whole announcing of the power, like, as in our whole team.
Yeah, the entertainment
center. We did that whole thing.
And they
had Clive Waterhouse and...
Yeah,
and Timmy G.
Fiacci, all of those blokes.
And my heart sunk when I saw that Timmy G wasn't going to be given a spot. And he loves Port Adelaide. He still does. He follows us.
Is that a fact, though, that he thought he was going to be in the team? I swear I heard him years ago saying that if Port made the AFL, he'd be running out the drinks or something like that. That he said himself that he was too slow.
I think there was a little bit of that may be a bit of fun and games, but I think in the middle of 96, when Jack stepped away, there was an article by Andrew Cappell in the Crapvertiser about Timmy G and wanting to play and whether he just retires and just says stuff it, you know what I mean? There was, at the time, he was real keen on getting on the squad. I think Jack must have had the conversation. So that must have been really hard because he, at the time, the captain, the Port Magpies, etc. And yeah.
There you go. I never knew that. I knew he was the captain of the Port Adelaide Football Club, but I never knew that there was any expectation or want. Oh yeah, I'm sure he would have wanted to have been, on the list, but I wouldn't have thought at that stage of his career, because he would have been turning 31 that year. Like he retired after 97, didn't he?
Yeah, I believe so. So yeah.
So yeah. You know, as much as I love Timmy G, I don't know that even, you know, 5 years earlier, he would have filled that need. I don't know. I love Timmy G, but yeah.
Nah, so the uncontracted players that we picked up that year were Gavin Wanganeen.
Reasonable.
Yeah, not too bad. I think he ended up playing 172 games for the club. It was 173, sorry. We had a guy by the name of Matthew Primus that we got from Brisbane. He was at Fitzroy, but he was part of the eight, so they traded for him. Adam Huskers from Sydney. And probably the greatest of all the guys that we got was Ian Downsborough from West Coast. And the way that our selections worked, it was done in reverse order. So basically the first four picks in the AFL... in the draft were taken by like priority selections. So it was in reverse order. So wherever you finished on the ladder, like if you were lower on the ladder, you got the first pick, etc. So we basically traded for Downsborough, who played seven games for Port Adelaide Football Club, for Michael Gardner for the first pick, and then we traded Wanganeen to Essendon. They picked up Chris Heffernan, was the second pick. And then Matty Primus, Brisbane picked up Rory Hilton with the third pick. There's some big name players here, so I think a bit of the drafting went askew for some of these clubs. and then Mark Kinnear was picked up by Sydney with the fourth pick. We also traded our first live pick to Essendon. For a guy by the name of Scotty Cummings.
I like Scotty Cummings.
Well, he was in that first year, he was a gun.
Yeah.
He was absolute gun. And when we go through that the season, and like basically he's our leading goal scorer in every game bar one. So.
Really? For the whole season,
the leading goal scorer every game is Scotty Cummings bar one game. Shane Bond.
I don't believe that.
Shane Bond kicked four goals in one game. Otherwise, it is Scotty Cummings. He just kicked four. Like, he was a gun. Yeah, so he kicked 70-something goals for the season. He did not. And then our first live pick in the draft was a fellow by the name of John Rumbotus. We picked him up at pick six. He played six games for the club. So we kind of had a bit of a miss there, guys, but that's all right. But I think other than Ian Downsborough, all of our uncontracted players were fantastic. Like Adam Huskers didn't play. He only played 37 games for us, but he was all Australian in 97.
Yeah.
The guy was a loose cannon, probably the loosest of all loose cannons, but still.
Yes, he was slightly.
Slightly loose.
Yeah.
The next guy was probably one of the saddest stories in our whole club.
We're talking Bowen Lockwood, aren't we?
We're talking Bowen Lockwood because he was an absolute stud. And like his back issues prevented him from being, like, I just could imagine having both himself and... Warren in that forward line, it would have been epic, but
he was rated like junior, a better player than what Tredders was, wasn't he? I think there was a bit more expectation on Bowen Lockwood than what there was on Warren Treadray.
Well, Warren Treadray was a wingman until 95. He was an All-Australian wingman in 95 till Cup.
Mm. I said I never knew that, but I just wanted to sound like I knew that.
So, in 95, and we'll talk about that group of players from that season. But yeah, he was very impressive, and unfortunately, he only got stuck on 50 games, so yeah. And then he had to retire because his body just couldn't hold to the demands of playing AFL football.
Very, very sad.
We traded pick 8 to Geelong for our inaugural goal kicker in Shane Brewer, and they drafted a guy called Lee Brockman. And then pick 9, I think we picked up, what was it, Mark Harwood?
Gun.
Played 30 games for the club, and that was it. So, yeah. And then, like, as part of those uncontracted players, they also got a second pick in the draft, like second round pick. So, yeah, pretty crazy times, really. I think we then played... we then picked up Adam Kingsley with our next live pick. Handy player. Adam Kingsley now, when he was playing the back pocket, he was a bomb scare. But when he played in the midfield, I thought he was a pretty handy player for us. And he ended up playing the 2004 Premiership.
I'm just going to say, we got another text from Bevan. Right, so he's gone from saying 11, Bond, Brown, Burgers, Carter, Francis, Lyle, Paul, Wilson, Treadray, Wangers, Carr. And then he's gone, forgot Meade and Feagot, 14.
Now, 13.
Now, I don't know, Bevan, about your maths or my maths, but thinking 11 plus 2 is leaning towards 13 rather than 14. Now he's sent another message. 13, forgot Meade and Feagot, can't count. No, Bevan, no, you can't. But Al will let us know if that's correct very, very soon.
Yes, no, very soon. Very, very, very soon. But, yes, now I suppose other guys, we also negotiated because we had first access to all those NFL players. We also, we got Paul Geister from North Melbourne. I can't even, like, I was, when I was researching this, because there's some of these guys that I can't even remember.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Paul Geister, did he play for us? Apparently he did. And we traded for Kent Kingsley and Wade Kingsley. And then we traded for, he only played one game for us, by the way. And then we had Brent Heaver that we traded for Ben Nelson and Andrew Balkwill. Can't remember either of them, but Brent Heaver only played 16. And the next one that I've got on the list
is... Heaver only played 16 games.
Yeah, 16 games for us. Of a total of 92, but yeah. He only played 16 for Port Adelaide. And this may change Bevan a bit as well. Scott Hodges was traded for Aaron Keating and Tim Cook. And I think this was an emotional choice because, from all accounts, his body was pretty shot at this time, but we still picked him up. So he never was able to throw the boots on for the boys, unfortunately. And then one of the running wingmen that we also traded for was a guy by the name of David Brown. We may have been talking about him the past month or so on our 1990 show that we've been covering. But, yeah, David Brown we picked up from Adelaide for Nick Laidlaw. So, and Brownie was able to play 22 games for us and was probably a good veteran head that we had playing for the club. So... yeah, that was a good choice. I think we needed it at the time because we had so many young kids. We had zone selections, which, and I'll just talk about these, that was Warren Treadray, four-time All-Australian, four-time Port Adelaide Best and Fairest, coaches player of the year. Basically, there's premiership captain. There isn't too much that Warren Gary Treadray didn't do for our club. So that was a pretty inspired choice. We had a guy by the name of Roger James. He was also pretty impressive. And then we had Michael Wilson. Amazing. Peter Burgoyne. Amazing. So, yeah, there's and they're a group, just talking about them. Port Adelaide got in a bit of trouble for this, but, yeah.
It was worth it.
We got in trouble for because we were supposed to come in 96. That was what was the whole plan, but Fitzroy just eked out another season, so we weren't able to come in because didn't want to bring back the bye. But they had some South Australian boys that were held out of the 95 draft was Michael Wilson, Warren Treadray, Peter Burgoyne, Brendan Lade, Roger James, and Paul Evans. They were all young kids that were played in that 95 Till Cup squad that won the competition, so it was the best team in the country. And, yeah, they all held out, maybe got a bit of coin on the side. I heard there was like 40 grand per player to not nominate for the 95 draft because we were going to be getting in the next year definitely. So, yeah. Interesting times. I think it was worth it, but there were some people that were pretty annoyed by it as well. But they wanted to stay home. Brendan Lade and such wanted to stay home in South Australia. And who can blame them? It's a beautiful state and get to stay around their family and friends. Like
beautiful and, state that you've left.
Yeah, okay. There's no work opportunities. Oh,
traitor.
Traitor. I still love the club, my friend. I still love the club. And, but yeah, there was, yeah, so all those guys came in. We then had Stewie Jew. He was our 17-year-old selection. Fair player. Mm-hmm. Played a, was pretty integral in our premiership year.
I don't think he ever quite got to the heights that sort of were expected of him, though.
Do you know who
like,
he reminds?
Because he was rated the best 17-year-old in Australia at that point, and he was an absolute gun. And he was a gun at everything he did. Like, you know, he was playing like B grade district cricket for Salisbury at 15. He was just one of those annoying people that you could probably invent a sport, play it yourself for 2 years, and he'd be better than you at it in like 5 minutes. Those people make me angry.
Yeah. And we picked up 1996 McGarry medalist in Josh Franco. And, he was pretty impressive as well. Played 156 games. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, I'm just going to need a glass of water, guys. Get talking, Phil.
La, 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 la. We'll sing. You're on a roll, though, Al. Talking about Josh Franco, he was a gun. Have you had your water yet?
Yeah, I was just having my water and his receding hairline. It was fantastic. I was a big fan of Josh Franco. Like when we picked him up, I said, oh, I don't know whether he's going to be that good. Like he won the McGarry, but he was a late bloomer. I think he was 21, 22 when we picked him up. But and I was like, he plays for North Adelaide. Not a big fan.
Who,
but
by the way, got rid of Kent McGregor today. Just quietly.
Oh, well, around the grounds, that's gone. Oh. That topic of conversation.
We'll revisit it.
You love doing that, don't you, Phil?
That's how I roll.
Yeah, so we've got a few other guys. We've got Darren Mead. I love Darren Mead. I think Darren Mead is fantastic. And then he played, 122 games for the club?
That he did.
Mm. And then Jailbird Francis, Fabian Francis.
What's he up to now?
I think he may be spending a bit
probably
of time behind bars.
Not good, not good. But he was a very entertaining footy player in his day.
Yeah. And then we've got Stephen Daniels. played 58 games. He was pretty serviceable in our first few years.
Good old Donald Dickey.
Donald Dickey, Mohawk Dickey.
The Dickmeister.
Yes.
Now, the next one. Good old Pooley.
Darryl the Ball Pool. I love that bloke.
He played 24 games. His gouging eyes was doing everything. Do you remember him and Meaty had a pub or a nightclub or something in town called Pooley and Meaty's? Do you remember that?
It's where the Woolshed is now.
Oh, is it? I remember I didn't do the nightclub stuff myself. But
Pooley and Meaty's. Yeah, you have to. But, hey, did you know that on the Port Fan Radio Facebook page, good old Daryl has liked our page. So that's
No lie.
Go check it out. Of the near 800 people that like Port Fan Radio on Facebook, one of them is Daryl Paul. So, and I'm pretty chuffed about that because I actually wore number 30 on my back at footy because of Daryl Paul. I love the man. I think he's absolutely fantastic. And like you love Darren Smith, I love Daryl Paul.
I love Daryl Paul as well. I still remember when he was captain of the Maggies, though. He was probably averaging one or two touches a game. Yeah. After his AFL career had finished.
He still won a Jack Odie medal, I think.
I love the man. Cool ponytail, dude.
He's still got the ponytail, man. He's still rocking the ponytail.
Has he got the hair on the top of the head?
Yeah, he does. He hasn't. Not everyone loses their hair like you and me, Phil.
I'm glad you actually said you as well.
Oh, mate, I'm a self-aware man. I've got this nice glistening top at the, on my scone, so I can laugh at myself, and I'm self-aware enough to say that on radio. So, and then we've got from Central Districts, we got Nathan Steinbrenner. And he played 20 games for us, which is a bit of, I thought he was always, because whenever he was playing for Centrals, he was always doing so well, but came into the AFL team and just was pretty average, really. So, and I think that was one of the issues with having everyone split over different clubs.
Yeah.
I had no continuity. They all played in different positions, etc. Then there was Nigel
Feagott.
Yes, gotta love the old Nigel. Played 19 games.
Stephen Carter. Paul Evans.
Tommy Carr. They all played under 10 games, like 10 games or under. Damien Squire played 10 games. Jaron Cotton played 4.
He only played 4. He used to go to my school.
Oh, did he? He's now coaching the bloody Red Legs.
I'd like to say, like, we're heaps good mates, but he was a few years older than me, and he wouldn't know who I am. But there was him and Eugene Warrior were both in the same year, and Eugene Warrior was the one who was the, you know, probably considered the bigger gun at the time. But
Eugene's working with the Aboriginal program. Jared
Cott played a few more games than that.
No. And then there was the Eagleton.
Oh, you forgot one.
Mark Conway.
Conway. Can't even remember who he is.
No, neither can I. I'm being
good,
honest.
Good-o. Well done, Mark.
Yeah, and then we had Nathan Eagleton, who he had some heart condition.
Yeah, like an irregular heartbeat or something, I reckon.
Yeah, I remember thinking, oh, crikey, like if an AFL footballer can have something like that. So, yeah, it was pretty scary, really.
And he had a pretty good career, 56 games for us, and then went over to the Doggies. Did well. And then Tom Harley. One game for us.
Yeah, he's a Ross Trevor lad. He only played the one game and got traded. So then we had Scotty Bassett. He played 15 games. He's actually on our list for ages, Scott Bassett, but just was never any good. Then we had Scotty Freeborn, who didn't play a game for us. And then I think he went to North Melbourne.
Brett Biglands. Oh, who cares about the next? That's probably a bit mean, but the rest of the guys didn't really play a game for us, besides our 1997 preseason pick, Stephen Paxman, the Pac-Man.
Full back. Yeah, no, he was pretty impressive and pretty critical, I suppose, in that those first few years. He was like a mainstay back there until we then got Darryl Wakelin, I think, in, like, what was it, 2002 or 3 or something?
Mm.
But, yeah. Of the of that original team, the original 46 Port drafted, we had 23 players that played 90 plus games for the club, and we had 8 from the Premiership team, and Wangers, in Kingsley, Lade, Wilson, Roger James, Peter Burgoyne, Warren Treadray, and Stuart Dew.
And then Primus and Franco were soft, injured, missed out.
That was pretty devastating, really, because they'd been involved in the club since the inception, and then they were to be injured when we were looking at it. So we had 5 players retired with Port with 100 games in Paxman, Mead, Lyle, Francis and Brewer. We had 2 retired from Port with 99 games in, like, Bond and Brown, and 6 left the club to go somewhere else to play their career total over 90 games, which was like Scotty Cummings, Brent Heaver, Adam Huskus, Eagleton, Harley, Biglands. So yeah, not a bad. So half the squad had total career games of 90 plus. Like, let's be honest, that was pretty impressive.
And props where props are due. Thank you very much to Russell Ebert Hamble on Big Footy for a lot of that research that we've been able to utilise tonight. So cheers for that.
No, we've got to thank you, because I remember certain players, and I watched every game, and I remember the squad, because when that team first came out, like, it was kind of like all the 18, 19 year olds were like a similar age to me. So I had a bit of a fascination with it, and Port Adelaide coming in. So, but yeah, some of those names were, names that I'd forgotten about, to be honest with you. And, it was really good to start reminiscing and looking and seeing what those people were able to do from that initial squad. Alan Stewart and his team were able to, like, put together a pretty impressive squad when not being given too many opportunities at all. So we were able to get a really good team together. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And, Russell Nick, who's Russell Ebert Hamble on Big Footy, thanks very much. We really appreciate it. I actually did try and see whether he might have been wanting to come on tonight, but, a dinner date, so that's fine. He can listen to these props tomorrow on the podcast. So, and you got to say, that first season, Michael Wilson also won the Rising Star. So, and then we had Darren Mead, who was our 97 Best and Fairest winner. So, yeah.
Some good players. And look, like you said at the start of the show, the word was we weren't going to win a game that year. And, it's just to miss out by percentage, I reckon. There was that game against Brisbane, wasn't there? That was it a draw? Or am I like...
No, it was a draw.
Yeah. And had we won that, we would have made the 8. But, oh well, such is life. And then you're sort of a little bit of a letdown over the next couple of seasons. Then we're on until finals game. A pretty decent squad. There's some gun players there that we picked up, and some other ones that have been quite quickly forgotten.
That's right. And just going to put out there the quiz question, brought to you by the Port Club and New Vision, is how many Magpies were on the Port Adelaide's inaugural AFL squad? And Bevan, you are wrong. 13 is wrong.
I've just sent you a message, Al. Just being the professional bloke I am.
Yeah.
Am I correct in my message to you?
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am. I should win it.
There's a young lad from Streaky Bay that you're missing, Bevan. He's now, he played for the Magpies and became a fireman. Now he's running an oyster lease up in Streaky Bay. So have a bit of a think about it, my friend. You're missing one player.
Did we ask for the players or just how many?
How many? But now you need to, because Bevan, you need to work out who you're missing.
Or someone else just needs to add one.
Tweet in. Potentially. Oh, well, I didn't really think about that when I said it at the time, but that's okay. Bevan, you have to say, if you want the voucher, if you want to go to Players Uncut and get yourself a tasty burger, you've got to work out who the... Oh, some frothies. Yeah. Did you just bring out... Oh, the word frothy. Yeah. Oh, so you've now given me authority to use the word frothies and chocolates.
Did you hear how I said it, though? I was taking the piss out of you, Al.
No, I don't like that. I've taken it as an opportunity to use the term frothy at any opportunity, and it's all good.
Oh, and if you want people to hate you, just do that.
Well, people hate me already. They just want to get rid of me.
Are we going to do an around the grounds thingo? Because it's getting late, mate.
Oh, we can. I was just going to talk about Kenny McGregor being sacked from North Adelaide. And, apparently he found it too hard to write little three-line things for the advertiser about the court and stuff.
And that's really all it is, isn't it? I don't think I've seen an article of his that's lengthy.
So, yeah, I don't know. But his job... didn't allow him to commit the time that he needed to kind of bring them out of that. And apparently they said that they needed someone that could do that, and he wasn't going to be in a position to turn it around. So rather than wait to the end of the year, they'll get rid of him. And he was could understand why. So, yeah, he's no longer the coach of North Adelaide. Don't know who's going to be the coach. Maybe they'll get Jars back. He can make some other ridiculous comments like he does on radio. Fantastic.
Well, maybe he's an assistant there.
Oh, is he? Oh, yeah. Darren Mead.
Darren Mead is an assistant at North Adelaide.
Hey, just before we do the round of grounds, I want to say the one probably biggest mistake that we made from that initial squad was letting a local Magpies boy go. And he went to the draft to North Melbourne.
No, we ended up getting him back. We're up.
So Choppy Pickett.
I'm assuming you're talking about Choppy.
Yeah, I'm talking about Choppy.
Yeah.
It was still one of probably the misses that we made. Like, we picked up like Jonathan Ubery, but we let Choppy Pickett go somewhere else. So that was pretty disappointing, really. But yeah. We got him back, and that's all that matters. But yeah, looking back on it now, that was a fairly large miss, and I think we had a tweet in earlier about, like, if only we could have got back Buckley, McLeod, and Brattles.
Mm.
If only. But I think we got a pretty good squad to start with anyway, even though most people in Victoria didn't think so. So, yeah, good times. But, Kenny McGregor got sacked today. We've got a couple of key AFL injuries. The Mummy is out for the season. Daisy's out for the season. Crazy times, and then
if you talk about any of the games on the weekend, I've got nothing because I switched off after Friday. So probably
no, I'm just
I was going to say I probably shouldn't have encouraged the around the grounds thing because I didn't look or read the paper or turn on the TV.
Well, and then the Messiah Juddy is going to help choose the next Blues coach with Ange Postecoglou, the Socceroos coach.
Yay! Who wants that?
So, not really. I wouldn't want it for all the tea in China. But, that's it for tonight on the 1870 Hour. Thanks for listening to Phil and I.
Didn't really need Nick, did we?
No, we didn't. He was excess baggage, really.
I'm sure last week the show would have been lacking somewhat without me, but...
Oh, well, we had the funny guy in Marchie. Marchie was fantastic.
Oh, he's hilarious. Whatever. I'm going to listen to the podcast of that show, and I'm going to get.
I'm disappointed you haven't already.
I started listening to it, but
yeah, no, that's all right. And yeah, no, fair enough, fair enough. I understand. There's we've got tomorrow night the Magpie Show is still on hiatus, so there'll be no Magpie Show. But Thursday night the Port Adelaide preview will be on of the Blues game on Saturday afternoon at the MCG with Macca fisting Rick and whichever special guest Macca organises from 8 till late on Port Fan Radio. And next week we're going to discuss like the 97 pre-season, and we'd appreciate any feedback that anybody's got. Like, yeah, if you've got some like memories of the 97 pre-season, the trip to Port Lincoln, Wanganeen, and his altercation with an umpire, all those types of things. We'd like to hear your memories and have you involved. So if you want to tweet in, call in, or even come on as a guest, let us know, because we just want to talk about that 97 season. But I'm going to let Phil go because it sounds like the little man's a bit restless. Yeah, we can hear Eric, so that's all good.
Sorry.
Well, thanks, guys.
I probably should do some parenting rather than just ignore it, and hopefully it goes away.
No problems. Well, all right. Thank you very much, Phil. We'll see you next week.
Cheers,
thanks, guys.